Acts 2:29. After Peter has now quoted what David had said about the Messiah, that they have all of those years mistaken for David himself. And obviously, I imagine that confused them, because they knew that he saw corruption. And then why would David call himself the Holy One? And verse 29, Peter says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." So his body saw corruption. It returned to the dust. And so that is not who David was talking about, is his point. "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left," and unfortunate again here in Hades, it should be in the grave, "so his soul was not left in the grave, nor did his flesh see corruption." And Kaufman said, "Peter here affirmed that not only was David fully aware that the promise of this his psalm was not to be fulfilled in himself, but that he also foresaw the resurrection of the Holy One. The certainty of this lies in the words, Holy One, there having been no way that David would ever have referred to himself in those words as the Holy One. The memory of Uriah and Bathsheba would never have allowed it." Verse 32. "This Jesus God has raised up, from which we are all witnesses." And now he's talking about we are the 12 apostles. And Kaufman said about this, "The New Testament accounts of the resurrection all agree that the tomb was empty and that the resurrection occurred the third day." And the phrase, "we are all witnesses," as Peter said, Kaufman said, "Peter could not have meant all of the 120 disciples, but all of the 12 apostles. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was one of the 120, was not a witness of the resurrection, nor is there any record that Jesus ever appeared to her. In the certification of so important an event as the resurrection to all times and conditions of men, Jesus trained and qualified a group of men fully equal to the task. They were outdoorsmen, unspoiled by human sophistication, but still prepared in the most complete and perfect manner to witness and proclaim the resurrection. It is simply incredible that such men as the 12 could have been led, either intentionally or otherwise, into believing the resurrection of Christ, unless it had indeed occurred." And verse 33, and we will end with 33 here. "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you have now see and hear." So this pouring out of the Holy Spirit with the apostles speaking in languages that they had not learned, but they were the exact dialects of these people from these 15 different provinces all over the Roman Empire. He is telling them that is from the direct pouring out of the Holy Spirit onto these 12 apostles. And then Kaufman said about the phrase, "by the right hand of God," Christ had indeed appeared alive after his death and burial, and the apostles had seen him ascend into heaven. As so often acknowledged in Scripture, Jesus was exalted at the right hand of the majesty on high, and that exaltation was the fulfillment of God's oath that a descendant of David would sit upon his throne eternally.